Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Who's 100 years old, and Sarah, who's 90, who the Bible clearly says in other passages of Scripture that her womb was as good as dead, and yet God was able to provide a child through her, Isaac. Now, how many of you know that's a miracle? That if you're living in that region, I'm pretty sure that a word got back to Abimelech. Hey, remember that old lady, Sarah, 90 years old? Yeah, I know. She just had a baby. What? How does that happen? Only by God, right? Only they didn't live in an atheistic society like we do. I got to be honest with you. They don't. This is really new. This whole atheism and atheistic agnostic society that we live in and all of that is relatively new in the last couple hundred years that we've had. It's relatively new. Back then, everybody believed in some kind of a God. Everybody had some kind of a fear. Maybe it was not Jehovah God, but they had a fear of God. They all recognized there was a God. Are we that advanced in a civilization, or are we just so far removed from what really happened and what was that we can't acknowledge it? That's an extra. I'm just going to be honest with you. We you know, our knowledge increases. Oh, we know so much more. We're so much smarter. Really? Or are we just so far removed from when creation actually happened that we forget that there is a God? See, they all believed in it. So Abimelech had heard and had a vision from God, a dream that, hey, don't touch her. But also he's recognizing through this that God is with Abraham. And so Abraham is living in his land. Man, God is with that guy. And I got to make sure that I have peace with that guy. Are there people in your relationships, people that are around you that recognize that God is with you? Do you live a life where miracles take place, where you're taking steps of faith, where God is moving in your life, that even people who are unbelievers around you recognize that, man, God is with you, that there's something different, that God is with you? That's just a question to ask, because that was something that he recognized. But I think secondly, there's something else that brings him to this treaty. It's not only that God was with Abraham and God prospered him, but I also think that there may be that Abraham could not always be trusted. I mean, after all, their relationship got started on a lie. So if I don't come and try to work this out, I don't know that Abraham, God is with him, but I don't know that I can trust him. I don't know that I can trust him. And you know, one of these things that I think that we can see through this is that there was a testimony that God was with Abraham in this encounter, but there was also the human side. And I think this gives us hope. I mean, I think there's grace in this passage that you and I can fail and yet still people can recognize that God is with us. That we don't have to be perfect for people to recognize that God is with us. However, we do have to understand that perhaps they might not trust us. Right? Oh, but I'm a Christian. Yeah, okay. Right? I know that ought to have different, but it doesn't. But yet there's this willingness to agree to peace. Not only does Abimelech come and he says, hey, don't deal falsely with me. You know, swear before God that you will not deal falsely with me. Why would he say that? Because of what happened previous. He doesn't trust Abraham. He knows that God is with him, but he doesn't trust him. And so he says, listen, you're a foreigner. Remember, I showed you kindness, all right? I could have done more, but I didn't. I showed you kindness. I showed you grace. Please show me the same thing. And what is Abraham? Abraham is agreeable here. He's agreeable here. And he says, I swear it. I swear it. So he's quick to agree to peace with Abimelech. Now, what does it take for these two men of influence and power to agree to peace? They both have influence. They both have power. What does it take? And I think that the first quality, if you really want to work towards peace with someone in relationship, I think one of the first qualities that you need to see is humility. It's humility. Again, who made the first move? Abimelech did. He was the pagan king. It was his land. It was his area where Abraham was at. He was the one that initially Abraham had lied to. And he even said to God, I didn't do anything wrong. And God said, I know. That's why I protected you, because you didn't do anything wrong. All right? I know that. I know that. And he did everything that God had told him to do. Go to Abraham, release, and he'll pray for you. And he blessed him, and he gave to Abraham. And he did these kinds of things. But now there's this time that has moved, and yet he makes the first move, and yet he's the king. What did it take for him to do that? Well, there might have been a little bit of fear because, hey, God was with Abraham, and Abraham had dealt falsely. But I think beyond that, it also was there was a humble move here, because you have to understand that he didn't rear up and say, oh, yeah, well, so what? I'm still going to try to do this. How many people fight against God or in conflict with the plan of God because they refuse to humble themselves and accept the plan of God? Humility is the first part of the relationship. Someone always has to make the first move. But what I find in conflict is that oftentimes we sit there and we go, well, I wasn't the one that did wrong. They did wrong to me. They ought to come and apologize to me. If they want peace, they ought to, I'm right here. They could just come. So you get this standoff. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Somebody's got to make the first move. And in this particular situation where time had taken place, Abimelech, the pagan king, is the one who made the first move towards peace. Do you know who made the first move in our relationship when we were sinners and apart from God? Jesus did. Was Jesus in the wrong? No. So you know what I learned from that? You may not be the one in the wrong, but if you want to work towards peace, you may have to make the first move. But I didn't do anything wrong. That takes humility. It takes humility. Humility to come and recognize. Philippians tells us that Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient. He put himself as a tiny baby. We're going to celebrate that in just a couple of months, right? And he showed us what it means to take the initiative to heal a broken relationship. And as long as we just sit and we don't make the first move, nothing is ever going to change. We might say, it's not my fault. But Jesus says this, therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offering. But that takes humility. Humility. Secondly, another quality, because you say, oh my goodness, humility. But what if I go? I mean, I could be rejected. You know what it takes? The second quality is courage. Courage. I see courage. Abimelech displayed courage. Peacemaking takes courage. You know why? Because you never know how the other person's going to respond. And how do I know that there was some fear in Abimelech and that it took courage? Because Abimelech didn't go alone, but he took an army commander with him by the name of Phicol. His army commander came with him. He came with him. Why? Why did he come with him? Because I think there was probably something in Abimelech that said, I don't know about this guy. I know God is with him, and I don't know that I can trust him. I don't know how he's going to respond. It takes courage. And if you want to begin to move to resolve conflict, it's not only going to take humility, but taking the first step to resolve that conflict takes courage. It takes courage. It means that you might have to do something that might go and you don't know how the other person is going to respond. They might respond angry. It might lead to things getting worse. If I make that phone call, or if I go talk to my boss, or if I write a letter to my mom who I'm upset with, or my dad, I'm taking a big risk. The other person might not understand. They might take it as a sign of weakness, or maybe they try to twist things around. Friends, I'm going to tell you, peacemaking is risky business. It just is. That's why so few people do it. And that's why it often fails. If you've got a broken relationship with your life, let me tell you, it's not going to get better on its own. It's not going to get better on its own. But as we read earlier in Romans 12:18, that you've got to seek peace as far as it depends on you. So in other words, what you can do, you need to do. And it'll take humility, and that'll take courage. And number three, that'll take grace. That'll take grace. Grace is that undeserved favor. It's that mercy. And I see grace being displayed on both people here, Abimelech and Abraham in these verses. As we already noted, the earlier encounter, Abraham had not been honest with Abimelech, and it affected Abimelech's household. And yet Abimelech could have held on to that, could have went into war, but instead he chooses grace. Part of that courage and humility and that offer of, hey, let's work together towards peace and have peace for generations to come, means I'm willing to offer you grace. I'm willing to give grace and mercy in this situation. And likewise, Abraham could have reached out in fear when Abimelech brought his military general Phicol in before a word was even spoken. Abraham could have taken it as intimidation, and he comes in and look, he's trying to intimidate me. He's brought this general with him. He's brought this army. What's he want me to do? He wants me to see how powerful he is. What's he trying to do? Manipulate this peace contract or something? I don't understand, but Abraham doesn't react that way. Right away, he says, I swear it. And I don't think that was out of fear. I think that was out of grace. Because he was willing to listen. He was willing to hear Abimelech out. Sometimes we're not willing to hear somebody else out. We're not willing to hear their side. We're not willing to put ourselves in their situation. We're not able to offer them grace for the mistakes and the failures that they may have made when they offer us grace. We want the grace, but we're not willing to offer the grace. Let me encourage you, if you want to have peace in your relationships, if you want to resolve conflict, you're going to have to be full of grace and mercy. Full of grace and mercy. In fact, in John, it says that Jesus came in two ways. He came full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And that's what we're going to talk about, because in conflict, it takes both of those areas. And that's actually the next point, is honesty. But in relationships, let me go back to grace. If you're going to reduce or be involved in trying to move through conflict and move towards peace, you're going to need to be full of grace. It's going to require grace. You've got to learn how to move past the offense that you've been hanging on to. And that's critical to relational peace. It's critical to restoring trust. Although these two men got off on the wrong foot with Abraham and Sarah's lie, they can now begin to rebuild the relationship and the trust to make this kind of a covenant peace treaty and agreement. But before they can get there, Abraham says, let's agree. Let's agree. I want to agree. But then he says, there's one more thing that we've got to work through. And that's where I talked about grace and truth. All right, so this is where the humility and the courage we see on Abraham's side as well, but we also see that in this peace treaty, Abraham says, there's an elephant in the room, there's something we have to deal with, there's another conflict that's going on, and if we're going to really have true peace and harmony, we can't let this other conflict just slip on by and not deal with it. And what is that? Let's take a look. Genesis 21, starting in verse 25. Then Abraham complained to Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized. But Abimelech said, I don't know who has done all of this. You did not tell me, and I heard about it only today. I heard about it only today. So what we have going on here, and you got to understand that in that day and age, it's very dry. In this particular area, in this particular region of Israel where Abraham had been migrated to, and that's what it was, the land of Canaan, and what we know of as Israel today, as he had moved into this area, he moved into an area that was a very dry area. And when you're in a very dry area, they didn't have the kind of plumbing that we have today. They didn't have the kind of water that we have today. They didn't enjoy the things that we enjoy today. So it was very dry. So what they would do is they would work very hard and they would dig down deep and they would dig until they could find an underground stream or well of water. Or they could dig down deep to where then water, when it did rain, could fill up the cistern and have the water, and they could water their flocks and they could have the water they need. It was a lot of work to dig into that difficult ground. Well, apparently Abraham's servants and he had dug into some ground. They had dug this well, but then Abimelech's servants or somebody came along and they said, no, that's ours. They booted them out. They kicked them out and they took over the well. That was a very valuable thing because there was a lot of sweat that went into that, a lot of sweat equity that went into that. You know what I'm talking about? And Abraham says, listen, if we're going to have peace, we got to resolve the well issue. We've got a well issue we've got to resolve. And what does Abimelech says? Well, Abimelech, he says, whoa, hold on. I don't know about this. This is the first time I've heard of it, basically. You never told me. You never said anything. You never said anything. You know that most conflicts don't get resolved because somebody never says anything? No, don't say anything. There's not a willingness or an ability to be honest about something. We just kind of gloss over. We hope that it's going to go away. You know, well, maybe it'll just go away. Maybe time will just heal all things, right? No, time doesn't heal all things. It doesn't. Sometimes you need space to get your emotions under control, to pray about something. Space is okay. You can give yourself space, but you can't continue to ignore a problem. In order to truly have peace in a conflict and peace in a relationship, you've got to bring it up. You've got to bring it up. It's got to come to the surface. If it doesn't come to the surface, you don't have true peace because there's always something that's in the way. And you always begin to interpret every conversation, every problem gets interpreted through the lens of that problem and reads through that problem rather than having peace. You know it's true. How many of, come on. Am I the only one that's ever happened to? You kind of ignore it. You try to ignore it. But every time you're with the person, that's the thing that just keeps coming up in your mind. And they do something. And that's the internal conversation. They're just doing that because of that. They know they did that. And this isn't right. And I don't understand why they're doing it. Come on. Y'all know I'm right. So here it is. We want to have peace. And Abimelech's coming in. And come on, let's make peace. And Abraham says, we can't have true peace unless we deal with this. Because true conflict is worked out not only in the grace that we offer, but also in being honest and the truth. And so he says, hey, we've got to do it. Now listen, the truth may hurt, but it's always more satisfying in the end. Without honesty, their peace in relationships is impossible. Impossible. Now, he could have even said, Abimelech, come on, you're lying to me now. I know you knew about this. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us whether Abimelech knew about it or not. That's where the grace comes in. Rather than arguing about whether Abimelech knew or didn't know and get off on the tangent, rather than dealing with the problem, they decide, you know what? I'm not going to respond to that, whether you did or whether you didn't know. We're making this peace treaty. And I want my well back. I want to acknowledge my well back. Now, it's just so important that in order to have that true peace, you've got to address the matter honestly, or else resentment and bitterness and all of those kind of things can stir up. But let me tell you something. Grace, offering grace, being honest and bringing things up, coming in with humility and courage. Number five is this. Peace is going to cost you something. There's a cost to relational peace. There's a cost. You say, but they owe me. They owe me an apology. Abraham could have said, hey, Abimelech owes me an apology. Abimelech took my well. He owes me something. Abimelech could have said, listen, Abraham, you lied to me, and then I gave things to you. You owe me. This is just an exchange. But let me tell you something. It's going to cost you something. And in the Old Testament, when contracts and legal matters, we saw before, were made, when there was documents, they didn't have documents to sign, so they made physical covenants. And they resolved through issues of making a peace treaty. And what we see is that Abraham is bringing something that's going to cost him something for this peace. In order for there to be peace, it's costing Abraham something. Genesis 21, 27 to 31. So Abraham brought sheep and cattle and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a treaty. Abraham set apart 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech asked Abraham, what's the meaning of the 7 ewe lambs that you've set apart by themselves? And he replied, accept these 7 lambs as my hand, from my hand as a witness that I dug this well. So the place was called Beersheba because the two men swore an oath there. Now again, the normal signing of the contract or the covenant, what we see is the giving of the cattle. That was normal. But it's the seven ewe lambs that is off. And even Abimelech recognizes, what is up with the seven ewe lambs? And Abraham says, listen, it's because I want it known that this is my will. And in order for that, Abraham could have demanded and said, listen, we're making this peace treaty, but you got to understand, I dug it. I don't need to give you anything for it. You just need to acknowledge that that is my will. But let me tell you where cost comes in. Because sometimes when you want to make peace in relationships, but you continue to demand your rights, you lose. You lose. It's going to cost you something. Peace is going to cost you something. And let me tell you where this comes in. Because remember, who came in and took it over? Abimelech's servants. Who was the foreigner in the land? Abraham was the foreigner in the land. So here's Abimelech, and Abimelech could go back to his people and appear like a weak king with this issue. They come in, they want to make peace over this treaty, and Abimelech comes in, and he just goes, okay, Abraham, it's yours. We'll give it back to you. We'll do that. And then he goes back, and his servant says, wait a minute, hold on. You didn't defend us as a leader? What's wrong with you? Are you afraid of that guy? What's happening with you? Why are you giving in to him? This is ours, and we had this. What is this? But now when he goes back, he comes back with these seven ewe lambs, and he says, Abraham bought the well. Abraham bought the well. What Abraham was doing was protecting the reputation of Abimelech. He didn't have to, but he chose to. He protected the reputation. In conflict, you know what we have a tendency to do? To smear the reputation of the other person. We say we want peace, but then we go around telling everybody else what happened or everything else, and we continue to eat away, and we say we want peace, but then we talk about how unfair it was and how this was really my will, and he just gave me what I deserve, and this was really my thing, and this was really what I wanted, and so I got what I wanted, and I don't know about them, but see, they came to me, and look what I got, what I wanted, and they admitted they were wrong. We love to kind of smear the other person. Let me tell you something. That will never get you peace in a relationship. It will never get you peace in a relationship. You've always got to learn how to take the higher road. And that may cost you something. That may cost you what you think you are owed. But that's called forgiveness. And that's called grace. And that's called love. And in this, Abraham wanted the relationship with Abimelech to be right and there to be true peace. And in giving the lambs, he spared the reputation of Abimelech. He spared and saved his reputation even though he didn't have to. See, he had God's favor. This was his land anyway. God was going to give him this as an inheritance. But instead, he said, here, I'm going to save your reputation. You want to have peace in relationships and conflict? Keep the matter to yourselves and learn how to spare the reputation of the person. Learn how to build them up in the eyes of other people. That'll go a lot further than you demanding your own way. You say, well, man, that's in that one passage. No, it's in the New Testament too. Jesus talked about it. He said this, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them to do to you. That's what Jesus said. Why? Because in these matters of conflict where you're so worried about the injustice being done to you, what you are saying is, you know what, God? It's all yours anyway. So if they want it, here you go. I'm gonna go above and beyond, and I'm going to give to you. Why? Because I trust that my God is a God of justice. My God is able to repay. My God is able to see the obedience that I'm doing, and he's able to take care of it. I don't have to demand my rights. I don't have to hang on. I'm going to give because I know that it's all God's anyway, and he's going to take care of me. And you know where we see this in this relationship? God fulfilled his promise to Abraham by providing him a son, Isaac. But up until this point, Abraham was a nomad with no claim to any property in the land of Canaan. But out of this peace treaty and out of this giving of these lambs, you know what he comes away with? He comes away with ownership of a well in the property of Canaan. Out of this, God fulfills the promise that he made to Abraham. And yes, is it small? Absolutely. It's small, but it is a claim. It is Abraham's claim for generations that becomes a claim that Isaac then has and Jacob then has. And then when they come back in, it is that claim that allows them to be able to take the promised land, because it is there that he names it Beersheba. Because here it is. At the treaty had been made at Beersheba, Abimelech Phicol, the commander of the forces, returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the eternal God. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines for a long time. He took roots. There's a tree there. There is the well of Seven, the well of Oath. Beersheba is that site of the Old Testament. It became Abraham's possession. And he planted a tree. Why? Because that tree was saying, there is roots. I am having roots here. I'm having roots here. But how did it come? It came because rather than demanding his rights, Abraham was willing to work towards peace. And friends, in our journey of faith, we've got to learn how to work towards peace. We've got to learn how to call on the name of the Lord and trust the everlasting God, the God of the covenant, the God even in the midst of conflict that can bring about his promises. In fact, oftentimes out of conflict, if you will handle it the way that God wants you to, you will find that oftentimes out of conflict will come the promise that God has for you, the promise that you've been waiting for. Oftentimes comes when we hang on through conflict. So are there any relationships in your life that you need to get right? Any relationships in your life? How are you doing with humility? Maybe you need a little courage. Maybe you need to offer a little grace. Maybe you need to confront something and be honest. Maybe you need to give a little. Maybe you need to say, I'm willing to let it cost me something. Are you willing to live in peace? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. That Jesus, your scripture says that while we were still your enemies, you died for us. You took the first step. You humbled yourself. You became obedient. You took and gave us the grace. You took on the cost. You didn't have to do that. You didn't deserve any of that, but you did that because you wanted to restore your relationship with us. Father, like your model, like the model we've seen with Abraham and Abimelech, Lord, I pray for all of our relationships. And if there is conflict in our relationships, I pray, number one, that we would seek you, that we would go into it with an attitude of humility, that you would give us courage, that you would allow us, God, to be full of your grace and your truth. And that, Father, we would be willing, even if it means laying down our lives and our rights, to trust you, that you can still bring about what you've promised to us, that we're not losing anything. But whoever wants to lose his life, or whoever wants to gain his life, must lose it. That, Father, we would choose that path rather than demanding our rights. Teach us, Lord, how to live in peace. Teach us how to work towards reconciliation. Teach us how to work towards peace. Father, we thank you and bless you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.